The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, snowy morning to everybody. This is Dr. Pettirudi. You are listening to Intellectual Medicine at WPRO, the intellectual voice of Southern New England. I don't know if I can call it that, man. I'm giving it a new tagline. But I am saying that because you folks are the intellectual listeners, and this is Intellectual Medicine, the place where we think, we interpret, and we apply knowledge to affect your lifespan, your life quality. Remember, you don't have health insurance, and the healthcare system is not a healthcare system. You have sick insurance, and the healthcare system is a crisis intervention system intended to put out fires as they occur. If you want health, it's your prerogative. If you're born with good fortune, and most of us, thank God, are, then it becomes incumbent upon you to make that choice. You know, how do you want to live? We talk about that every week here. We cut through the bigotry. We cut through the self-serving agendas. And we get to the heart of the issues that affect us every day. You want to do well for other people, take care of yourself. Don't become somebody that someone else needs to care for. We defy the conventional definition of aging. We defy conventional medicine's ignorance and willful neglect of critical issues that affect our health every day. We shed light into the darkness. But so far, it's a beautiful day out there. It's looking good. I got a public service announcement, Nick. I got to announce that the Intellectual Medicine poker game at my house will be officially postponed. This is very bad news for me since I usually win, and I'm going to be a little bereft of funds this week, so we'll have to get that ramped back up.
Never played poker.
You never have played? You know, I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun. It's a wonderful way to get together with friends.
See, the thing is, everybody wants to play for money. I don't gamble. So.
Well, you know, I don't gamble either. I only bring the money I can lose, right? So when we play poker. Intellectual medicine is about quality living. Folks, quality living means no stress. Let's extend it one more step. No stress means having more money at the end of the week than bills, right? Is that simple enough? You get to the end of the week, Nick, and you don't have enough money to pay your debt. That's a bad week.
Right.
Yeah. We've all been there at times, haven't we? Do you realize that in America, 50% of the people cannot come up with $400 if pressed? $400. Now, let's tie this in since this is about your good health. And by the way, today we're going to talk about why the rate of heart disease went up this year. We're going to discuss why the life expectancy of the average American went down this year. And we're going to talk about ways that you can decrease the risk of asthma and multiple sclerosis from occurring in your offspring, in your children, how important it is for that developing baby to be bred in a healthy and enriched environment. And once again, conventional medicine has missed the target with regard to the value of proper supplements and proper nutrition. Listen, when I was in medical school, I know of what I speak, folks. I'm not railing against the conventional medical system out of fear and ignorance of it. I was born of it. I went to medical school. I did my residency in family medicine. I'm board certified in that field. Yes, I am a family doctor at heart. And yet I had to move from it because my patients required it of me. They needed me to move away from that so I could help them more robustly. Also on today's show, we have Dr. Angela Aslami from Massachusetts, who is an OBGYN specialist, and she has special expertise in bioidentical hormone replacement, as well as she will be implementing the Pettirudi method for weight loss in her practice. Very, very happy that she came to my practice, came to our office, to our center in Warwick, Rhode Island, and has invested in learning about our techniques. There's nothing more successful in the country, in the world, than Pederuti Method for weight loss. That's it. It's the top of the mark. Everything else is making circles around the drain. We have figured out a way to solve this problem. But to start things off, so Nick, we're talking about that $400, right? Now we're aware of the crisis that is happening at the Health and Human Services in Rhode Island, that computer glitch.
Yes.
They call it a glitch, right, folks? This became personal to me last week when a patient of mine came in. She has two children, and she said, I can't get my money to feed my kids. Imagine that you're working, Nick, and you go to get your paycheck, and they say, I'm sorry, the computer mucked up. There's no money for you today. How's that feel right about now?
Doesn't feel good.
Now let's amplify that, and let's pretend that you got no money to begin with. You literally don't have a dime in the bank, not a dime, and you're counting on that money, and it's not there. Oh, let's make it worse. The state of Rhode Island paid $240 million to not pay you. How are we not screaming about this?
The UHIP system. It's the failure of the state right now.
It's well, you know what? We have to own it, Nick. We are the state.
Yes.
It's not fair to just point at our elected representatives. We need to put heat on everybody. You know, this is a neglected minority we're talking about, people. These are the folks of poverty, the folks of need. These are the people that through your generosity, manifested by the taxes you pay, you have committed to help. Imagine if you were donating money to your church every week and you found out that they were hoarding it, not dispensing it to the people in need. You'd be a little bit pissed off. You know, we should be angry. Now, here's what really galls me. You ready? I'm just a little bit annoyed today, by the way. So we got a couple things I get off my chest. We're going to talk about medicine. What really galls me, $240 million, people not getting paid, humans suffering, right? And it's a trickle-down suffering. The mother, the father, the families are stressed. The children get stressed. People aren't getting fed. They pick up the phone and they call their friend, their relative. Now, that person is stressed. It's a ripple in the pond that spreads. Do you realize that they did, this is some weeks ago, and I heard it. I wish I remembered who exactly said it. They said that, well, you know, we're looking into it, and by and large, we're giving ourselves a B+ for the rollout of this computer system. A B+? Are you kidding me? I wish I had that kind of a grader when I was back in college. Now, here's the thing. You remember Kurt Schilling, right, Nick?
Of course I do.
Right. What was it? $70 million. Or whatever we gave him.
It always feels like it's more.
Okay. This is three times that amount. Now, listen, I'm not absolving the Schilling fiasco, but he took it in the chops. He's paying money. He had personal calamity and consequence because of his failure. Who is going to take it in the chops for this mess? Who? Nobody. Nobody. I want somebody to pay. And you know what I want? I want that company that implemented that computer program. We're going to find out who they are. We're going to amplify it. That company, we're going to find that out by next week. I want them to pay money. Not to the state of Rhode Island, Nick. I want them to pay money to the mothers, the fathers, and the children that have been affected. $240 million. The way I figure it, they owe us $70 million. They owe us a third of that, maybe half of it. I want a refund. And I want that money. I want the state to cut a check directly to the people. It does us no good. And then I want whoever bought that damned equipment, I want them to be on the hook too. So I'm going to pivot for a moment. So that's the state of Rhode Island creating suffering and stress. Not good. Not good, people. It's your tax dollar at work. And Gina Raimondo, you know, I like her. And I thought she has a lot of credibility. But it's eroding fast. It's time, Gina. It is time, Governor, to take action, firm action that we can see that will satisfy our anger. Don't tell us you're getting upset. Don't tell us you're thinking of doing something. Go quiet and then act. And then sue the company that brought us this stupid computer that's messing everything up. That's what I'd like to see. Now, if I'm way off base here, folks, if somebody has inside knowledge, I'm willing to listen. But from my perspective, this is just awful. I'll tell you another thing that's awful, Nick. Imagine if you had an adjustable rate mortgage, and imagine it went up 7% this year, right? 7% on your adjustable rate mortgage.
In one year.
You know where I'm going with this, right?
Jeez.
You'd be a little bit upset. Now imagine it's going to go up 7% a year for the next 4 years. Welcome to higher education in Rhode Island today. 7% increase for these students. And then the educators have the audacity to tell us the problem, folks, is we're not getting enough money. We need more federal money. We need more state money. Listen, Margaret Thatcher said it the best. Socialists always run out of spending other people's money. The remedy for high tuition, and I'm sorry, the remedy for student debt is to lower tuition. Have you ever seen these professors at work? Right? They're jamming, baby. They're teaching two or three classes a week. They're exhausted. And the poor things, man, they got to take a sabbatical. Where does that money go? Every year, 7%. I think it's a bait and switch. You enroll into a college. When you enroll into a college, you should have guaranteed tuition for 4 years. In fact, Nick, I'm calling upon one of our state representatives to introduce that legislation. We're going to call it Honesty in Tuition Act. And it's going to mean that when you enroll in a state college, whatever you pay year one, that's your rate for the next 4 years. There's nothing special or shocking about managing the college. There's no inflationary pressure, folks. Hell, the rate of an apartment in Boston went down last year. Well, we're going to be coming back as we ramp up, and we're going to be talking with Dr. Aslami about the Pedderty method for weight loss. And we're going to tie it into the crisis in healthcare and the way it's being ignored by conventional medicine. The number one health problem in America being ignored. I'm Dr. Steve Pedderuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. Stay with us, folks. But if this ever changes...
WPRO's Operation Snowball has Southern New England's most complete and comprehensive storm coverage with up-to-the-minute school and business closings and traffic updates you can rely on, sponsored by Car John, Heating and Air Conditioning, and Eastside Clinical Labs. Operation Snowball on the voice of Southern New England, WPRO.
Nick, you are the best, baby. I got to tell you, props, though, to Eastside Clinical Lab. I like that lab. Folks, if you have to pay cash for your labs, go shopping. And find out the comparative price. And remember, nobody pays anything to me to be on this show, not even Dr. Aslami, my esteemed guest. She is an OBGYN specialist, an enlightened physician, a purveyor of intellectual pursuits. She is pioneering new ways of helping patients in areas where they need help the most. Like me, conventionally trained, she entered the medical world, and from that vantage point, has expanded and is now offering services up in Massachusetts, including the Pedderty method for weight loss. Good morning, Dr. Aslami.
Good morning.
Thank you for being on my show today. How are things up in Massachusetts? Are you ready for the blizzard?
We're ready.
Now, tell us exactly where your office is in Massachusetts.
My office is in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, on Pleasant Street, right off of 24.
All right. Now, folks, get out your pen, because she's about to give you the phone number to her office. And she's going to share with you information this morning that can be life-changing to many people. And Dr. Aslami, if you don't mind giving us your office phone number, please.
The office phone number is 508-807-0634.
So if you need medical weight loss, or if you have women's health issues, issues of vaginal complications, she has advanced treatments we're going to be talking about today that can reverse vaginal dryness and discomfort. And we're going to be talking about the hormones as well. But first, so you started out in medical school, and then tell us about your training and background. How did you get to where you are?
So I finished medical school in 1999 and then did my training in OBGYN. And from then until now, I've been practicing standard obstetrics and gynecology. And for the past 3 years, I've been pursuing a fellowship in metabolic and nutritional medicine. And I became interested in that because I have so many patients, like all of our colleagues, who seem to not get better with standard treatment, with things like chronic pain, chronic rashes, chronic fatigue, low energy. And, you know, they get put on more and more prescription medications, which don't really help, and the symptoms get worse, and then they're unhappy. And I just wanted to look at, is there a nutritional approach and a lifestyle approach that's evidence-proven to actually work? And that's how I got involved with pursuing that degree.
Well, I
got to
applaud your open heart for your patients. And like many of us, and like me, you know, this is how I got into the the style of medicine we're doing, the intellectual medicine style, it was born out of a frustration of my inability to help so many of my patients. And I was left, like you, with one of two choices, either get new knowledge and figure out how to help them or continue to watch them suffer. Now, tell me, when you were in medical school, do you remember that extensive curriculum you had on how to treat obesity? Wasn't that a central part of your curriculum?
It was not even discussed, as I recall.
But wasn't it part of pathology? Didn't they talk about obesity and its consequences? Do you remember that?
I believe the only consequence they discussed was diabetes and heart disease. But really, that was limited.
Well, I know they must have, like in my residency then, spent probably a couple of months, since obesity is the number one medical disorder in the country today. Invariably, in our residency, you would have expected maybe a month or two at least focusing on it. That never happened in my world. How about yours?
No, not in my world either. The way it entered my world in training was how to design surgeries, C-sections and hysterectomies, specifically for the obese patient, because that required some additional technique. But never was there a discussion about how to address the obesity itself.
So in your earlier stages, now I know that you are adapting the Pedroudi method for weight loss in your practice. And folks, this technique, this method has been developed over 20 years. It has an over 95% success rate, and it has a complication rate approaching zero. And I could tell you that our mortality rate is zero, that the surgical complication rate is zero because it's not surgery. And I think that this should be the standard of care. And I'm so happy you're going to be offering it to patients in your area, that they can call your office, they can create a consultation, and they can start this path toward permanent good health. But when you would see patients struggling with their weight in the past, what sort of, how did you address that? Or, you know, what did you do for them?
You know, we tried a variety of things. I would ask them about their eating habits and their exercise habits, and I would provide little bits of advice here and there. And, you know, they would do some of it and some of it not, and some of it worked and some of it didn't. But invariably, either they didn't stick to it or they didn't come to follow up, or we got busy with other medical issues and it wasn't on the front burner,
right,
with the attention that it deserved.
Well, that's well said. You know, in conventional medicine, my colleagues and I, many of my colleagues, have a great heart for patients. The difference between them and Dr. Aslami is they stop at the point of empathy and become frustrated at the lack of impact. To your credit, you then took it another step. You sought training and education so that you could become expert in treating obesity and affect the change that so many people need. What we know about obesity, it is the hardest thing to do in medicine, to guide someone towards permanent weight reduction. And what you know, Dr. Aslami, from your own experience in the literature, is that diets fail 99.8% of the time. That means that in almost every case, you're going to regain that weight. So the proper diet is none, and the proper approach is this linear approach, the Pedroudi method approach. I'm so excited you're going to be introducing that. Where you are, there's such a colossal need. Did you know that this year, Dr. Aslami, for the first time since 1992, the death from heart disease went up?
No, I did not know that.
And for the first time since the HIV epidemic, the average life expectancy of an American went down. Now,
wow.
We both have a Department of Health. You have one in your state, I have one in mine. Are you getting notifications from the Department of Health about the urgent need to intervene with the obesity epidemic?
No.
I
get a lot of notifications from them about the Zika virus.
Oh, that's right, Zika. I get the notification of Zika, you know, yes. And we all know that Zika is sweeping through New England and costing lives. You know, hey, look, I respect and I understand the Department of Health. They have a tough job. Here's the problem, Dr. Aslami. They're paralyzed in 1980s medicine. They're chasing bugs when people are dying from the metabolic disorder known as obesity, that the fat cells take over the brain, they take over the hormone system, and they make it almost impossible for many people to lose weight on their own. So we're going to continue. Can you stick around? Because I do want to continue our conversation.
Absolutely.
Great. We're going to have a short commercial break, folks. Now, the lines are open. You can call in and ask questions of me or Dr. Aslami. We're going to continue the conversation right after we hear from Doug Lazette.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM. WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Pettirudi. I'm back at Intellectual Medicine. I'm talking to Dr. Angela Aslami from Massachusetts, from Bridgewater. Is that right, Doc?
Yes, that's right.
Bridgewater. And you can reach her at her phone number, if you don't mind saying that again, please.
It's 508-807-0634.
Dr. Aslami is joining the movement known as the Pettirudi Method for Weight Loss to try to help patients that are suffering with this metabolic disorder. A study recently reported that folks who had to have gastric bypass have increased rates of psychiatric complications, including self-harm, psychiatric emergency room visits, mood disorder, substance abuse, addiction, neuroses, and personality disorder. Now, that's on top of the people that we know suffer consequences of gastric distress, chronic diarrhea. The death rate, some people die as a result of this abominable surgical intervention. Can I tell you, Dr. Aslami, in 20 years of doing Pettirudi Method, we've referred nobody for gastric bypass.
That's wonderful.
We've taken people, and you will have this joyful experience of guiding them through a weight loss they didn't think that they could achieve. Now, part of what we do is prescribe medication to assist with weight loss. And is that, to tell me about that, here you are, what do your colleagues think about that? Is that safe to do? Aren't those drugs dangerous?
You know, I think if they're used correctly with people trained appropriately, they're a vital portion, a vital part of the weight loss journey. There are, many of them are controlled substances, so they have to be tracked properly, and you have to pick the right patient and make sure that they're, you know, going to be compliant and use as directed, not get excited and use too much to accelerate the weight loss. So, you know, you have to be trained, and anything that's a controlled substance usually results in colleagues having a little bit of hesitation about it. It's an appropriate tool.
That's well said. An appropriate, I would say an essential tool, and I can, you'll have this joyful experience. In 20 years, we've had zero addictive responses, issues regarding these medications. And people say, well, I don't want to use that medicine for weight loss. Folks, we've got more prescriptions than you've got side effects. Furthermore, drug therapy alone will fail. It is essential to connect it to the proper use of healthy supplements as well as nutritional behavioral change. And Dr. Aslami and I are two experts of all these different facets. You will never have to go through weight loss again once you take this journey. I want to shift the conversation a little bit because, by golly, you're an OBGYN specialist. And we all know that hormones are dangerous and bad and nobody should ever be on them. Is that a correct statement by me?
No, I wouldn't characterize hormones as dangerous, no.
All right, let me flip it around then. And I'll tell you my philosophy. I want your opinion. I believe that every man and woman at some point in their life should have their sex hormones replaced appropriately and properly by an expert in the field, or they're going to suffer the consequence. That's where we orient our practice. Tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you there that, you know, most of us spend our teens and 20s and early 30s with the benefit of normal hormones balanced, and we feel good and we feel young and we have good energy and we're focused and we're motivated, and a variety of things, not the least of which is the aging process, results in those hormones declining, you know, 35 plus years of age. Sometimes it's faster, sometimes it's slower, and it takes a toll on people emotionally, physically, and health consequences develop.
Right.
And there's a variety of ways to correct it, but I think it's important for people to feel good to balance their hormones.
Well, I think feeling good and living better, what we know about the absence of hormones, Dr. Aslami and I, is that if you don't have proper hormones, your bones will shrink, your brain will slow down, your muscles will shrink, your genitals will shrink, your sex drive will fade, your risk of dementia goes up. In a study on women who had hysterectomies, they had a rapid acceleration in all facets of aging, including dementia. a study in men who had hormone deprivation therapy as part of their prostate cancer treatment had explosive rates of dementia. Protecting brains is part of this game, as well as arteries. Now, I think it's fantastic that you're entering the field and that doctors like you and I are rescuing the lost generation, I call it, Doc. These are the women of the Women's Health Initiative that have been cast to the wind, right? They come in with these symptoms. I'm feeling tired. I'm losing my energy. I'm gaining a little weight in the middle. And what do the docs do? They put them on Prozac and tell them to have a nice day. We can do better. So I'm so glad that you and I are colleagues in this field and that you're going to be helping patients in your practice. But there is a special subset of patients in which the hormone therapy could be particularly difficult to administer. And we're talking now about women that have had cancer, breast cancer in particular, many of whom are young, many of whom then suffer. Well, you explain it, Doc. You know better than I. You see these patients in your practice, and you have taken it upon yourself to bring to your area one of the only treatments for those patients. So tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm very excited about this treatment, and it's a very personal journey for me because my sister was 31 when she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and she's now 34 and doing well with it, but it's a long journey, and she can't take hormones. And so because of that, the vagina gets dry and painful and less elastic, and it's painful to have sex, and the best treatment for that is vaginal estrogen, which is nerve-wracking in somebody who has an estrogen-sensitive breast cancer. And most of the oncologists are very hesitant to use it and certainly not to use it long-term. So there is another treatment, which does not involve hormones, which is a CO2 laser that's painless, treated for 5 minutes in the vagina, about three treatments 5 weeks apart, with a 95% improvement in symptoms and quality of life, and no risk as far as the breast cancer goes.
Dr. Aslami, that's so exciting to hear. What a quality of life enhancer that must be for these poor women.
Yeah, absolutely. They go through a lot with their body image, with their treatments, with their worry about their life and their fertility. And when they get past all those treatments and now they're looking at hopefully living out a normal lifespan under the influences of anti-hormones and how that affects their well-being, I'm really excited to have this treatment to offer them, which has only been in the United States since the end of 2014. So it was used in Europe for many years, and it came here at the end of 2014. So there's not a lot of machines out there.
Dr. Aslami, I have to tell you, I admire you. I mean, here's a doc, folks, who takes it upon herself to go where the patients need her to go at significant personal risk and expense. When doctors like Dr. Aslami and I step out of the world of conventional medicine, we go into uncharted waters. And she's done that for the benefit of her patients with regard to her expertise in hormone therapy, as have I. And she's done that in regard to her passion to help patients with obesity, and she's going to be a smashing success up there. And now at great personal expense, that equipment is not inexpensive to bring in. She's introduced this to this area of the country and is going to be able to help hundreds and thousands of women. Dr. Aslami, it's a real pleasure being your colleague, and thanks so much for being on the show with me today.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and I look forward to this journey and this partnership to help our patients with weight loss journeys.
It's going
to
be great. We're going to have you back in a few months, see how things are going. You have a great weekend, and keep that driveway shoveled.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
All right. I was just kidding about the driveway. You really should never shovel the driveway, folks. You're going to give you a heart attack. All right. Hey, Nick, can we take a break? Want to do that? We're going to take a little break. I'm going to be back. This is Dr. Steve Pedderuti at Intellectual Medicine. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how to protect unborn babies from multiple sclerosis and asthma and the proper supplements to achieve it. I'm Dr. Pedderuti. We'll be right back. All right, folks, I am back. It's Dr. Pedderuti here with Nick behind the glass. Shannon has a day off, folks. She is studying for her nurse practitioner exam that comes up in a couple of weeks. She will be back after her brief sabbatical. Well, we just heard from Dr. Aslami talking about weight loss of bioidentical hormones and about the neglect of conventional medicine when it comes to this most compelling issue. It ties directly into the increase in heart disease this year for the first time since 1992. The rate of death from heart disease went up. This year, for the first time since the HIV epidemic first occurred, the life expectancy of Americans went down. Now, those two trends will be defied by everybody who's pursuing intellectual medicine. Why? Because we help people live longer, live better. Studies have shown that weight loss, if not done properly, can increase your rate of death. And that's because you have to lose fat, not just raw weight. Now, you know, a lot of our colleagues are dismissive of supplements. I know when I was in medical school, we all said, hey, you take all those supplements and what you get? Expensive urine. But the studies keep coming, folks. Now, here are two new ones. It turns out that they have did a study looking at vitamin D levels in mothers and vitamin D levels of newborn babies. And they looked back and correlated that with the rate of multiple sclerosis, or MS. Now, what we know about MS is that the rate of this disease is much greater in individuals in northern latitudes. If you live in New England, you are more at risk than if you live in Florida. And for a long time, we've wondered why. One theory was that somehow it was connected to infectious disease. We have not manifested, we've not found that out. But in this study, they did connect it to vitamin D levels. The higher the vitamin D level in a newborn baby, the lesser the rate of multiple sclerosis. The higher the vitamin D levels in the mother, the lesser the rate of MS. And what it means is that perhaps they have found a link. This link can make a difference in the lives of so many people. And we know that supplementing vitamin D is safe, it's easy, and it is often overlooked or minimized. Vitamin D, you need to have your blood level measured. It's the, if you get out your pen, vitamin D, 25-hydroxyvitamin D. There are different types of vitamin D levels that can be tested. The one you want to test for is 25-hydroxyvitamin D. Folks, if it is low, it needs to be supplemented. Now, low is relatively interpreted by who's looking at the number. In our practice, we like to see levels above 70. Conventionally, folks are happy if it's above 30. We know there's no harm from higher levels, and we know that vitamin D is important in cell division and that it may help ward off cancer and certainly has value in preserving bone. Added to that, the risk to an unborn baby, and now mothers were taking folic acid. They're taking folic acid to prevent neural tube defects. That's become a standard of care. I submit that vitamin D supplementation at a rate of about 5,000 units a day on average should be a standard of care for pregnant women. Another study found that women who had high levels of fish oil fats in their system at the time they delivered their children developed children with a less tendency to have asthma. Now, vitamin D, you can understand the connection, right, between sunshine, vitamin D, and MS. Now, the connection between fish oil and asthma is that fish oil is an anti-inflammatory, and asthma is an inflammatory disease. So in our practice, we advocate high doses of safe, natural, supplemental anti-inflammatories, of which fish oil is one. Now, here's the caveat. You need to have the proper dose. Too many things just splash fish oil on the label. In this study, it was 2.4 grams of fish oil. The other detail, folks, it's got to be fresh. Remember, this is an animal product. It's going to become rancid if it's left at room temperature. If it's not shipped properly, it will oxidize. Do not go to the big box store, buy one, get one free, super cheap fish oil. Open up the lid. If it smells bad, it is bad. Throw it away. I like to see the fish oil purchased in small amounts from a highly reputable source. Now, we have it at our office. Every intellectual medicine center is stocked with the finest, most validated, and most useful supplements. Dr. Aslami will be having them at her center in Bridgewater. We have them at ours in Warwick, so they can be trusted. The only thing worse than taking the wrong supplement is taking a supplement that's gone bad. So those two things I wanted you guys to be aware of. The fish oil, the question then becomes, could it help people that have active asthma? Well, that's interesting. I mean, it is an anti-inflammatory. But here's what absolutely works. The greatest, most inflammatory thing going on in your body are fat cells. And if you have too many of them, you're going to have problems with, more likely to have problems with an inflammatory issue like asthma, like muscle pain. In our practice, we consider fibromyalgia to be a condition of inflammation instigated in part by excess adiposity. And therefore, we go after that with a medical treatment for weight reduction. Now, you would think that somebody like me, who has invented, if you will, a method of weight reduction that is 95% successful, you would think that they would be breathlessly trying to propagate this all over the country, that the government, the Department of Health, that the insurance companies would be grabbing this and running and highlighting it. You would think wrong. Follow the money. There's no money in keeping you healthy, folks. Now we're on the cusp of what many of us have been looking forward to, and that is a major revision in the way that health care insurance is delivered. Obamacare has been great if you're a hospital or pharmacy. If you're a doctor or an average patient, it's been abominable. Obamacare got passed in part because it had support from hospitals, from big specialty groups, and from pharmacy. As well it should have, because it was a big payola to all of them. Funneling money to hospitals and pharmacies does not make you healthier. Giving you the freedom to pursue your own health is what does. And the way to give you freedom is to stop charging you such ridiculous rates for nothing. We're talking about colossal premiums for health insurance. The reason they've skyrocketed is because so many mandates have been plugged into them. Health is our personal responsibility. Insurance is there for a catastrophe. We need to start thinking about health insurance like car insurance, like insurance, and not like prepaid health care. And we need to go after our quality of life. It becomes your choice. 90% of health consequences are environmental. Now, we're in an age where everybody likes to think about the genome and the genetic risk. I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't have to worry. Everybody in my family lives to be 90. Or, you know, Doc, my mother and father both had heart attacks in their 60s. I would say to both, you're taking too much stock from the genetic legacy. It's the environment, people. It's the environment. And the environment starts internally with how we live. You're going to need help with that weight loss. Call us. Our center, I'm going to throw out our number one time, 921-5934. Gina, Tanya, Tammy, the phones will be open at 9 o'clock this morning. We're there to help. We can lead you through a better quality of life. You don't have to suffer. The pain doesn't have to be there. It's not hopeless. You're not a failure. The treatments have failed you. The diets have failed you. The system has neglected you. Doctors are biased against people with obesity. Doctors are ignorant against the effect of menopause and andropause. They have a tendency to neglect symptoms that they don't have a drug for. And treating age itself is the cornerstone of good living. That's what we're here for at Intellectual Medicine. Now, the age of gastric bypass is upon us. We will look back on that as a dark era of just deformingly filleting people, cutting them open in the hope of somehow affecting a medical outcome. Well, we're talking about things that affect our health. I need to talk about that Burrillville power plant, Nick. This kind of bugs me. Do I have time? I just need a minute. Can I do that?
Got a couple minutes here.
Okay, because here we are. They want to put a toxin-spewing power plant in your backyard, folks. Guaranteed, I guarantee you, the rate of heart disease, cancer, the rate of dementia are going to go up in the surrounding area. Why? Because those are pure toxins that are being pumped into the air. You cannot burn fossil fuel without creating a toxic residue. So here's my deal with a factory. Number one, if you're going to put that factory in, I want the tax money that it generates to go directly to the people of Burrillville. Directly. I want you to cut a check to the people of Burrillville. You know, if you live in Alaska, you get a check every year. It's the dividend for the deal with the oil companies to put the pipelines in. Think about that for a minute. They're paying people for the right to muck up their environment. That seems fair to me. You know, if every citizen in the town of Burrillville gets a check of $1,000 a year from the toxin-spewing energy company, maybe that's reasonable. Maybe. Now, here's my other caveat. I want the president of the company to live within a mile of his own factory. That's right. Let him breathe it in. Now, let's flip over to those poor people in Woonsocket. They want to buy your water to fuel their plant. I ask you this question, Woonsocket. What's in it for you? Oh, you're getting tax revenue to the city? Why? So they can squander it like they always do? So they can piss it away on sundry little special interests? No! You get a direct check. It's going to be called the water dividend to every citizen in Woonsocket. $300 a year, whatever the cost figures out to be. I don't want that tax break going to the city. Do you think they're going to lower your taxes because they're selling your water? Absolutely not. It's time, folks. It's time for the citizens to ask for accountability when it comes to things like how our money is spent, when it comes to our health. You know, if you are a oil exporting nation, you have a vested interest. The big oil is about as bad as big pharmacy when it comes to defending the status quo and getting the government to subsidize their pollution. America is big oil. We're the number one oil producing nation in the world. So on those thoughts, there's one more thing, and I'm going to leave this to Tony DeJesus to comment on. Tony, pay attention. I'm talking to you, buddy. Four people died in Texas recently when a pesticide turned into a toxic gas. That pesticide was aluminum phosphate. Now, the Big Blue Bug Solution is up next. They are my pesticide company, folks. Intellectual Medicine uses the Big Blue Bug. Why? Because we trust them. So I'm going to pitch it off to you, Tony, and I want you to comment on what happened in Texas, buddy. I am Dr. Steve Pedderudi. This is WPRO. This is Intellectual Medicine. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back at you next week. Speaking truth to power, baby.